Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360. On May 18th, 2018, live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, joining us today as co-host, the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce and also co-producer, Mr. Mark Lips. And, of course, with us because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, Mark, how are you guys doing today?
It's
doing
Friday.
Great.
Doing great.
Friday.
Yes.
Friday.
It's also
the day.
It is,
yes,
my 27, my now 27-year-old son's birthday. And
Yay.
Really proud of him. So
I saw that in your newsletter
Happy
this
Friday.
Morning that he was
born.
Yes. Is he home for the big birthday celebration or is
he
out
lives
and about?
He lives with his girlfriend in El Segundo and works, but we've got a big thing planned tomorrow. Listen to this. This is going to be so much fun. You know, it's good to be our kids, right? I have gotten him a 90-minute drive at the Porsche Experience. I mean, he'll be in a Porsche, and they put you through all kinds of – you have a professional in the passenger seat, and they put you through all these different environments. Like there was one turn where you go into the turn, and he's telling you, okay – you want to go fast here and get ready because there's going to be water that comes up underneath and you're going to go into a skid, you know, and here's what you do and all of that stuff. I mean, they have all these different, it's like an obstacle course for cars and he teaches you how to handle each of those issues. And, so it should be a lot of fun at the Porsche Experience.
Is that in Carson?
Yeah, it's right off the 405. Yeah. When you're driving to, before you get to Avalon, you actually see it there on the right side.
Right,
and,
right.
And you'll see cars driving around there. It's a big, you know, nice track and all of that. And so that's going to be fun. Also, I have some news about the Chamber. First of all, Michelle Wynn is no longer with us. Happened yesterday. So we wish her the best. And secondly, our home and health expo is now going to be at where it was originally intended, but I was working on the city with something, but it's going to be at the National Guard Armory on Bell Avenue in Manhattan Beach, you know, right off Rosecrans, and which is great because we have this big outdoor space, we have this big indoor space, and right now we have about 30 vendors and sponsors, and it's all things about having a healthy lifestyle, including, having legal health, right? Being legally healthy, you know, having your trust set up, having your business set up correctly so you don't lose your business in the event of something that happens terribly. And we are in that Me Too generation, so, you know, things happen. Quit pinching your employees. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, we've got financial health. We've got emotional health. We've got, you know, we're going to have a kids area. BC Health District is going to do something where they're going to be doing gratitude rocks, the kids painting gratitude rocks. And we're going to have yoga, kids and parents yoga area with Joni Plake from Breathe and Learn. So it's going to be a lot of fun there. But what I'm really excited about, I mean, this will be the first one. And we're excited about the beginning of this because we've been talking with the city. And, you know, the city council has been telling me, they said, Mark, we wish there could be a big tent pole that the chamber and the city could work on, you know. And I said, well, what about Healthy Living Expo? So literally for the last week, I've been scrambling to try to make that happen with the city, and it's just too soon. And the city said in order for us to do it, we would just have to charge you like we would anybody else. And, you know, that was a huge number. Because I was going to close off 13th Street and all of that. And, and you know, I forgot to contact some people, which kind of ruffled some feathers there with Downtown Business Association and all that. But nevertheless, they are excited. And so we're going to start meeting literally in July for next year at this time to do a combination home and health, you know, a healthy living expo. And we really want to, you know, and then take it to even another level than what we do this year. So excited about that. And of course we're, you know, our Bite at the Beach is coming up August 11th. We're going to have a page set up because we sold out last year. People were literally online. It was kind of fun to see, you know, where someone's going, anybody got a ticket to Bite at the Beach? Anyone? You know, I mean, it was great to see that. It was like a sold out concert. You know, we could have had scalpers out there. But we're going to get that page up and going so people can start buying tickets, even though it's not until August 11th. But people want to get their tickets in advance and make sure they have them. So that's kind of exciting coming up. And
we're going to be there. We're going to be there. We're going to be doing a live podcast.
Absolutely. And 360 will be there in B360. Yeah. And so live on location, you actually put a face to the name. You pull the curtain away and get to see Jackie and Joe. And, you know, you'll have a lot of great people to interview, too.
Now you're scaring me. No. To see our faces.
That'll be good. No, not at all. You guys are great. And then, Ted, it's funny how people just aren't really committal, but they said, yes, I'll do it. You know, I'm going to be, you know. But they make the way they say it to you, you almost go, is he really saying yes? Or am I hearing yes? Anyway, Ned Colletti, who I've gotten to meet through Rotary, has agreed to be our MC for our Heroes of Manhattan in October. And if you don't know, Google Ned Colletti. Just came out with a book. He was former general manager of the Dodgers. He lives here on the north end in Manhattan Beach. And so I'm excited about that, too. So that's coming up October 17th. So lots of stuff. We've got seminars. We've got a seminar Instagram for badasses on June 5th at El Camp. At El Camp, the shared workspace here in off Rosecrans. We're going to have a sexual harassment seminar. We're going to have a happiness seminar, which is going to be really fun. We've got a gentleman who is going to talk about how to be happy in your life, you know? So I want both of you there.
Wow.
I sure as heck will be there. That's for sure.
I don't know. So anyway, you know, that's an interesting thing. You know, I think what I believe is that you're either a person with a good outlook, or your person without a good outlook. You know, I mean, I'm a happy individual. I mean,
You are. But I think that's because you're doing what you love.
No,
you have a spouse who gives you great material to use for things that you like, you know? I mean, when you live with a foil that you can use, I mean, that doesn't get any better than that. If Tammy had a radio show, she would love it because, gosh, does she have a foil.
She would have no lack of topics to talk about. But, no, but even before I was doing this, I mean, I was a happy person. I was a happy person growing up. My parents always said I was a very happy baby. I rarely cried.
Now, you know, you wonder, so pull away the curtain. Why is that? What is it that you do about your life that keeps you positive and keeps you motivated? Before you technically made it, you know, I mean, before you in your salad days.
I think you either are or you're not. I just think you're one of the, there are the people that are just looks at the glass half full. They're optimists. They see the bright side of things. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't dwell on the ugly. No matter what you're doing. I mean,
Have a flat tire today.
Well, you look on the bright side of that, Mark, and that way you can keep up your mechanical skills. That's how you think of it.
Right. It's exactly right. I tell everybody, failure is the best way to learn. You know.
Yeah.
What a great learning experience. You know, don't look at it as failure. Look at it as, oh wow, I just learned something. You know, and the thing about happiness though is we want to reach the people that you're talking about that look half empty because. And I may subscribe to your thing too, because I'm not sure, because man, when you get in the mood or you're not happy, it's hard to break it. I don't care what's happening to you. You cannot get out of it. You just got to work through it. You know, it's like the bleeding's just got to stop and then you feel better. But are there techniques, are there things that you may not be aware of that would make you happier? You know, I am happier when I can motivate to exercise, and I've got to start doing that because I just haven't, since taking this job, this position, my exercise routine has just fallen off dramatically. I mean, I'm surprised that my heart's even beating, you know, and I need to, and I know that I feel much happier when I feel good about my body, about myself, you know, and that I feel like, oh, okay, you know, simply because I just feel like healthy. And, some people, I think there are techniques that you can do.
Yeah.
There are things you can do
you're going to have a speaker or somebody explaining different means to get there.
Yeah. I think that's what he does.
Right.
And it's pretty,
that sounds interesting.
It is interesting. So can I get into this health? Joe,
Mark?
We're trying to have
Can
a conversation here. Why? Do we have somebody? Do we have somebody with us today?
We do. But before we get to our guest, I would like to know if I can join the Health Expo as a microgreens urban farmer.
Oh, are you kidding? That's a no-brainer. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
There you go.
My gosh, that's perfect. Are you kidding? That's perfect.
How do I apply? How does anyone apply, Mark?
You call me up at the chamber, and you know what? Call me
and
at the chamber.
And this event is when?
June 15, 16. So
June 15.
You got to look and see if that's going to be a conflict. It's Friday afternoon, and then we're going to have a vendor celebration in the evening. I mean, we were going to invite people to it and things like that. I'm going to invite city council and all of that. The vendor celebration in the evening after, you know, because basically it's going to be set up on Friday, and then, you know, hopefully people will come by and all that, and then about 5 o'clock we'll all gather together and have a vendor celebration. The beautiful thing is too at the National Guard Armory, we can lock the whole place up, so you can leave everything there, and it's all fenced in and locked up and all of that. And then Saturday we'll start, you know, 10 a.m. and go to 5 you know, it'll be a day of healthy lifestyle.
Excellent.
You can do wheatgrass.
Microgreens would be awesome.
Microgreens are awesome, and it's perfect.
Hey, I would even have a booth on cryptocurrency if I were you, just to explain it. The myth.
Healthy cryptocurrency.
Yeah, the myth. You know, behind the currency or something like that.
Now, we do have an exciting guest, and this is, something that as a Chamber of Commerce, Mark, I know that you deal with all the time. You have clients members coming in and describing different issues that they have in their businesses. And often these businesses involve, I mean, these issues that these businesses have involve legal issues and legal questions and so forth. So we have an excellent guest to answer all of those questions. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Deanne Flores Chase. Deanne is the founder of Chase Law Group, a local law firm dedicated to providing responsive client services and creative legal solutions. Deanne and her team of experienced attorneys work with business owners and many professionals to help them set up and maintain legal structures that form the foundation for a successful business while providing personal liability protection for the owners and their families. Deanne has been practicing law for over 20 years and has spent her entire law career advising and defending businesses of all sizes. She began her career as a litigator and has appeared in virtually every courthouse in Southern California. This experience gives her a unique perspective to provide businesses with a preventative, comprehensive approach to business planning and operation. Chase Law Group takes an innovative, holistic approach to advising on business entity structures, partnerships, franchises, contracts, trademark leases, and employee and independent contractor issues. Now, you can learn more about Deanne and her firm and the what they offer by visiting chaselawmb.com. So anyway, this morning we're going to talk about a little bit about the law and best practices. In addition to the new offices Deanne and her team have just moved into, they'll be hosting a ribbon cutting and open house on Wednesday, May 23rd. Welcome back to the program, Deanne. We're so glad you could join us again this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So,
just so you know, I'm a glass half full kind of person.
By the way,
the judges always love you, and the juries always are smart.
Work on that, Joe. Work on that.
I try to avoid the courthouse these days.
Yeah.
But it was really, really a great experience to try to keep my clients out of the courthouse, and that's the most important thing.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right. By the way, your ribbon cutting, which is May 23rd, it's coming up Wednesday from 4 to 7 at the new offices on Sepulveda, right across from Manhattan Beach Bread and Bagel, across the street and all of that. You're going to have a crowd there. I mean, I don't know. I've been talking
party.
To people going, are you going to Deanne Chase's thing? Yeah. Are you going? You know, I sent it over to city council, and Nancy Hirschman said, well, you know, I was there, so I'll definitely be there. I'm going, you know. So it's really going to be a really nice crowd there.
It is going to be the open house not to be missed.
Yep.
Not to be missed.
I think this will be the biggest, the biggest ribbon cutting or and/or open house that we've had in a long time, if
well,
maybe ever.
You know, I had RSVP'd. Somebody from your office contacted me, Deanne, and I said, you know something? I said, I have to go to the airport that evening. So I was like, I'm gonna stop by, you know, on my way there. I'm going to hit your place up early and then go to the airport. But then I got your email blast, Mark, about the parking. So you might have to save me. You might have to reserve me a parking spot.
Oh, for sure. Mm. Well. Thankfully, Mark has helped us, and you know our network at the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is absolutely fantastic. And so when it looks like we have a brand new space, we're super excited about it. It's right on, you know, on Sepulveda Boulevard. You know, my name's on the outside of the building, which I'm just absolutely ecstatic about. And so we just wanted to invite everyone. And as the RSVPs are coming in, I was like, wow, where are we going to put all these people? And most importantly, where are we going to park? So Mark stepped in, and then also Brad Sperber over at Toyota said we can use some of his spaces. And we called upon Target on the down low to be able to park a little bit in the corner of their parking lot as long as we don't go, you know, too close to the front. So we'll have some parking available definitely, though people should try an Uber, mm-hmm. bike, mm-hmm. you know, any way you can get here
skateboard.
Because it's going to be, yeah,
skateboard. I can shuttle them over in the skate pod tell him to meet me here too, and I'll settle back and forth.
That would be fantastic. So my associate attorney, Mihi Sales, is going to make her world famous sangria.
Wow.
And
definitely Uber. Okay.
So definitely Uber.
Or you may need a lawyer.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. You want to make sure everybody arrives and leaves safely. That's the idea.
No, wait, speaking
of needing a lawyer, I wonder, Deanne, can we have a substantive question? What does Chase Law Group practice?
Huh?
What kind of law?
That's a good question, because there's so many lawyers out there and people get confused on what we do. We are a business and real estate transactional law firm, meaning that, our clients are business owners and professional practice owners, you know, dentists, doctors, lawyers, accountants, physical therapists, psychologists, veterinarians, you know, a lot of different types of professionals. So those are our clients. And we are not a litigation practice. So like I said, I was a litigator for the first 10 years, and my claim to fame is I've been in virtually every courthouse in Southern California. But really the idea is that experience is what sets the foundation for us to advise our clients on how not to end up in court. So how to stay out of court. And the way you do that is by, you know, really good legal structures, partnership agreements, employee manuals, good employment practices, strong contracts that are customized for your business. You know, those are the greatest liability prevention mechanisms are, you know, a good LLC or corporation to protect your personal assets, and not only to make sure it's set up correctly, to make sure you maintain it so it continues to provide the liability protection. So that's what we advise our clients on, how to stay out of the courtroom.
I think, you know what I just learned, it's interesting. You know, we're in the Me Too era right now. And so I looked into sexual harassment. And I found out that it's mandated that you have to have sexual harassment training, but only for those companies with 50 or more employees. And it just seems like that's a little high. There are online forums. There are inexpensive ways for your employees to get that training. That that maybe it should be 15 or more employees or something. Heck, maybe it should be every business should give sexual harassment training.
Well, every business should still have a sexual harassment policy, and that's actually required in the state of California to include sexual harassment policy in your employee manual.
In your employee manual.
Yeah,
it's mandated to have that employee manual now, right?
Because you need to have those policies in writing.
Right.
Yes. So we help with that of making sure that you have all of the current standards in place in your employee manual, so that then your employees are well aware of, you know, not only how not to, as you said, Mark, earlier, pinch your employees, which, you know, seems pretty straightforward, but also to provide a way for an employee to feel comfortable, you know, giving them an avenue to make a report, you know, and to be able to make sure that their you know, concerns are addressed properly. Because for an employer, you want to make sure that the standard is set out for all of your employees, and then it's also, if you have an employee that's engaging in those sorts of things, to, you know, make sure and document that these are the types of behaviors they're acting in on, and take affirmative action, so that then if there's a later action that needs to be taken, for example, something to be aware of is, like, then what happens if a particular individual claims that they have been harassed, and you go through the policy, but then the person is just, like, not showing up on time or whatever, and now you need to let that person go. Well, now you could be concerned that the person could try to make a claim that you've let them go in retaliation for their making the claim in the first place, for example.
Right.
So that's
yeah.
So you know, so that's why you need to make sure that, you know, I always tell my clients to make sure that if you have a disciplinary matter with an employee, that you sit down, you document it, you have them sign off, you set standards for their continued performance, and if they don't comply, you continue to document, because then that way, if you have to let them go, they're not going to make a claim back against you, or if they do, you have a really strong defense to show that you didn't let them go for an improper, unlawful purpose. It was because they were just a bad employee, right?
Well, two things.
Right.
One, it's important to have that employee manual because, right, you have now a mechanism for employees to use, but also in protecting the employer, they have to sign off that they read the manual and all of that. Then that begs the question, how many of these small businesses actually have employee manuals?
I know. That was my question. You know, I mean, you've got, how many employees do you have at the chamber? You got three or four people.
We have an employee manual.
No, we haven't.
Absolutely. The thing with a lot of businesses, and we've had one for years, Deanne used to be president of this chamber, so she knows, but
I think I helped with that manual.
Yeah, has it been updated? That, you know, the thing is, these manuals need to be updated, and that's the other thing. If people have manuals, they may need to be updated, you know, with all the current stuff. The other I just slipped my mind, but the other thing I was going to say is that in addition to the employee manuals, I mean, it also leads to the employer realizing the pit when they read that thing, they realize the pitfalls, and then that leads to the idea of you've got to have employee liability insurance. I mean, and I'm hoping every business out there does, because we are in a litigious state and we are in a sue happy state.
I find it amazing from talking to my friends that work in the corporate world, how difficult it is now to fire people. You can't just fire people anymore. You have to document. I mean, is Deanne, can you just say, you know, your position is no longer required, you know, we're letting you go? Does there have to be a reason?
No.
It sounds like such an onus to the business owners that if somebody is slacking off or whatever, and you know, people are complaining about them, and as I said, you document, and then you let them go, they could still bring a case against you. But it just seems like did these days.
It's true. It's hard. It's hard to be a California employer for sure. And you know, I mean, the law of the state of California is that it is an at-will state, which technically means either the employer or the employee can at any time say, we're done here. But for a lot of my business clients that are small businesses, I'm like, well, that's – you just say it to recognize the fact that for employers, it's just not the case. I mean, I never advise, you know, just up and let go of an employee, you know, without a good cause. And also the fact that, you know, heaven forbid you let go of someone who's in a protected class. Like, I had a client who just financially was running a business who said, you know, I have – and you know – he had an employee coming back from maternity leave and said, you know, I just, you know, I don't know if I can't really afford to have her come back because I had somebody, you know, working in her place and they're doing a great job. And I'm like, sorry, you're not going to let go of someone when they're coming back from maternity leave. You just make it happen. Because I'm very conservative. I said, well, look, if you let go of someone coming off maternity leave, then you're gonna be sued.
Well, once again, the responsibility of the employer to document. You know?
Right, exactly, absolutely. And so that's why the employee manual is so important. And I do want to really, I want to take this opportunity to let a lot of people know about the fact that people who are, you know, that many small businesses want to call independent contractors are truly employees. And this has been happening over the course of the past several years, where I've had clients come in and maybe they have a trademark issue. They want to file a trademark for their business, and so I'm helping them with the trademark, and then we start talking about everything else, and they say, oh, and I have 20 contractors. And, you know, more and more I'm like, these people are actually presumed to be employees. And so a lot of my employers are saying, well, you know, they don't want to be an employee. They want to be an independent contractor. And ultimately, it doesn't really matter what the employer or the worker wants it to be. The EDD and the IRS say this person is presumed to be an employee. And so this has been happening over the course of several years. But just on April 30th of this year, the California Supreme Court kind of set out a new test that really narrows it down to say, okay, what are the ABC test on when an independent contractor is an employee? And it's when they're, you know, a person is an independent contractor if they're free from the control and direction of the hirer, they're engaged in a customarily independent trade, occupation, or business of the same nature involved in the work performed. But the biggest one that I think is going to cause a lot of problems is the worker performs work that is outside the usual course of the hiring entity's business. So, in other words, if you have a fitness studio and you have a fitness instructor, that person is performing work that is within the usual course of your business, and that person is an employee. The only time someone's an independent contractor, ultimately, is if they have their own LLC or corporation, they're providing a service for a business that is not within the usual course of the business's practice. And so I end up in the position of telling people, guess what? You are, in fact, a California employer, and now we need to look at, you need an employee manual, even if you only have one employee, and you want to make sure that you're protected.
Mm-hmm.
What if that
contracted employee is doing... It may not be an LLC, but has their own business on the side that they do, very similar to the business that they do as a contracted employee for a company.
Well, I think that even in that case, they could be construed to be an employee because they don't have their own LLC or corporation, mm-hmm. and they're providing a service that's within the same business of the business they're providing the services for. So that's why I think.
Yeah, but
you know,
in a sense, they're competing though against that business.
Wait a minute. Let's just say, for instance, there's a lot of small businesses that hire tech people, you know, to come in and keep their technology running smoothly. So, let's assume they are not an LLC. They haven't formed their own company, you know, legally.
Which is the reason to do it. Just on an aside.
Right. But if you have a tech person coming to your office once a week, once a month or whatever, and even it may not be the business. Say you're a professional decorator, all right? Mm-hmm. And you have somebody coming in to handle your IT, say once a week, could they be construed as an employee?
No, because they're performing a service that's outside of the usual course of the business.
Right.
So, for example, if you have the easiest, most blatant example, of course, is like, say you have a plumber come into your office to fix the plumbing.
Right.
That's an independent contractor. It doesn't really matter whether the plumber is a sole proprietor or has a business entity. They're providing a service.
Right.
But that's why I do advise people who do provide outside services that may be complementary to another business to form an LLC or corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way that's kind of one of the appeals that they may have when they're going to do a business for another company is to say, I have my own LLC or corporation. I do work for other people. You know, they should have their own brand and their own invoicing and all of that. Then they look more like an outside contractor. Because this test is really concerned with people. Yeah, I mean, you know, people who are performing a service. They're individuals performing a service for a business. And that's where
it
becomes risky for the business to hire them.
I don't want to continue on this subject. I want to get some other subjects in there. And Deanne, you provide such a clear explanation for these issues. Your law firm does the kind of law that most of the members of the chamber would probably want to take advantage of. But it's not just about law, right? It's about insurance. There are many ways to protect your business, and that's one of the things that Mark is most concerned about when, as a, mm-hmm. a administrator in the chamber.
Sure.
How can you look at the law, and an attorney as you are, how can you look at the law as protective, as insurance related? I mean, is there a manual for the different kinds of law that you should have as a small business, the different kinds of contracts you should have in place as a small business? Do you have a manual for that?
I don't have a manual, you know, but we have our blog on our website that we kind of talk about different issues, and you know, working on that. But I, you know, I think that insurance is important to have, so I want people to understand. You know, I always say you need a business entity, an LLC or corporation, for personal liability protection, but not in place of insurance. You really need to have both, and their barriers of protection, because you know, the first 10 years of my career, I worked for basically our clients were insurance companies that were hiring us to defend their insureds that were business owners, restaurant owners, property owners, manufacturers that were being sued. So so the key part of what I did for the first 10 years is I was in court defending, you know, who I felt was truly my client, the business owner, but the insurance company was paying the bill. And that was because mm-hmm. they had a commercial general liability policy for their business that if you're sued for something that is potentially covered under the insurance policy, the insurance company has an obligation to hire a lawyer to represent you in litigation. The problem is that mm-hmm. people either don't have insurance or they don't have the right kind of insurance, and then or they don't have enough limits or what have you, so then they need something to kind of cover those gaps, and that's where you have your you know, business structures, your strong contracts, and a lot of other things that provide protection. But insurance is absolutely important to have, and like Mark referenced earlier, you know, an employer's liability policy, EPLI, is important for employers. It will cover, you know, that wrongful termination, sexual harassment case. It won't cover a mm-hmm. meal and rest break lapse where you haven't been paying your employees for meal and rest breaks, which a lot of employers get in trouble with. So you need to have
But isn't that,
have insurance.
Isn't that expensive, though? I mean, how can a small business afford the legal, the insurance, there's so many different things to pay for. When am I going to go out and make money for me and my business?
Well, ultimately, if you can't pay for protection, you shouldn't be doing your business. I mean, you shouldn't be in business if you're not able to take into account all of your business expenses. Because I have people who are very excited to spend $20,000 on a new website, and they don't want to spend $500 a year for insurance. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. you really have to think about it like that. Mm-hmm. I tell people when you're putting together a business plan and you're going into budget, you do need to budget for legal. LegalZoom is not a budget for legal, right?
Yeah,
Which is $99. Well, guess what? You get what you pay for. And ultimately, the problem is it only takes one claim. It takes one partnership dispute to completely derail your entire business, in which case everything you've put all that other money into is now down the drain. I mean, I see partnership disputes where people go into business as partners. They don't put, you know, they do a LegalZoom entity, which is boilerplate template crap, pardon my language, and it doesn't adequately address many issues that come to play between partners. It's like, who's putting in the time? Who's putting in the money? What happens if we don't get along? What happens if we want to bring in another person? All these really important mm-hmm. things. People don't put that in writing, and then that can derail the business. Next thing you turn around, one partner's locking the other one out of the business. They're taking the money out of the bank accounts. The employees don't know which partner is supposed to be telling them what their work shifts are, and it's very disruptive.
It's like mm-hmm. It's like we used to say, you are what you negotiate up front. You know,
that's right,
so
ultimately. Mm-hmm.
The platform, the base that you put out there, you know, needs to be solid. And so you have to think, it's almost, you know, this is the one place where you have to think worst case scenario, not glass half full. You know?
That's true. That's actually a good point. Yeah, that's right. So,
but you see, I don't think of it that way. I think of that as a positive. I mean, planning for the worst, to me, mm-hmm. is proactive. That it's
right.
proactive.
So there's the positive for your company. The positive
that
you're trying to bring a positive to your company, that you don't run into those pitfalls down the road that could sink your company.
Exactly.
You know?
They're there to help
no,
you make these transitions, definitely.
I mean,
they make those transitions so much easier.
The perfect example is look at Harvey Weinstein, Lionsgate, or was it Lionsgate?
You mean Harvey Weinstein?
I mean Weinstein is
Harvey
what was
Weinstein?
His?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but what was it? It was Lionsgate Films, right? Or wasn't that his company?
The one,
I mean, here's a
it's
place.
The Weinstein company. It's the
Weinstein
company.
Company.
Here was a company that was making Oscar-worthy and winning movies
almost every year.
Every year, forced into bankruptcy because of that.
Oh yeah.
I mean, done. Took down a whole successful Oscar-winning company because of not.
They weren't protected against his actions.
Yeah.
Right.
People didn't speak up. People didn't adhere to the rules of an employee manual that should have been in place, or probably was, but just no one adhered to it. I mean, it brought down a whole company.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, people were in fear of retaliation, so they didn't.
Right.
Exactly. There was no process in place. It was clearly his company. It was do what I say or else you're going to be out of a job. And they had nowhere to go. So, I mean, what these manuals and what these policies are supposed to do is to give an employee in that situation, you know, someone to go to say, this is happening to me. And then in order to have the employer, you know, take the proper steps, and that person does not have to have a fear of retaliation to say, well, it's Harvey Weinstein. If I tell someone about this, I'm going to be fired. Well, you know, if these processes are in place, if you tell someone you get fired, then you can sue them for retaliation in addition to the harassment.
You know, at Fox, it was interesting. We were very proactive in that. We literally put an HR office on every single floor, every single area of our business. And so you could walk down the hall. There was somebody to always talk to on every floor. You didn't have to go find the HR office, an HR office, but we put a rep on every single floor.
But small businesses just need to have a place for people to make these and nonprofits too, you know, need to have also, you know, we work with a lot of local nonprofits. We help them to put their entity structures together and their employment policies in place, but also to say, look, even in those situations, a nonprofit needs to have a place, you know, who do I talk to if I have this happen to me? If a complaint is made, an employer needs to conduct an investigation. They need to document an investigation and bring in an outside source to help them, you know, if it comes to that, to make sure they do things right. Because there are so many things that employers can get in trouble with. So, you know, whether I, you know, like my daughter was recently hired, she's 15 and a half. So she was hired by a store to do some work. The employer didn't.
15 and a half. Oh, my God. They're breaking
them
off.
Yeah.
Technically, you know, she hired someone who's under the age of 16, didn't get all the right paperwork for that. Then my daughter gets her first paycheck, which is just literally cut out of a checkbook, you know. Here's to this person, because my daughter, I'm not really, you know, my daughter's like, Mom, you can't, you know, don't tell her. I'm like, she's breaking all kinds of laws, but
and
I'm getting around to talking to her about that too. But ultimately, you know, I mean, you can't just cut a check out of a checkbook for your employees. Nowadays, you need to have an itemized wage statement. The itemized wage statement has to include certain stuff. It also needs to track the paid sick leave and any accrued vacation and all these sorts of things. You can't just go it alone with one employee,
I was recently in negotiations with a potential employee, and she said that she wanted to be she wanted to get a W-2, so I looked at the various options, and I'm telling you, it was impossible myself. There was no way that I was going to hire an employee and take care of all the things that need to be taken care of myself. So I was looking at a company, I think Patriot Software, was the first company that I was looking at. They advertise all the time. It's payroll. It's like a minimum of $10 a month, and you input all the, you know, the employee's information, you enter your company information, bank account information, how much you're paying them. And then all I have to do then is I say, oh, well, she worked, you know, 20 hours this week or 10 hours this week or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they spit out a check to her and they spit out a report and they keep track of everything. There's no way, Deanne, that I could do this without a service. It's just too complicated.
Well, wait a minute. What we do is we prepare an employee manual. We give you some policies. And the nice thing is then you use it time and time again because some businesses are also paralyzed because they're like, oh, it's so complicated to hire an employee. And so they don't grow. So you have to grow and you have to, and that's what we do. We help you. We put together an employee manual. And then I'll give a plug too for another chamber member is Stephen Goldstein at Payroll Management Solutions. Mm-hmm. I just referred over to him a woman who has a small business. She's just starting to grow, and then she says she has these two employees that she wants to hire. And I said, call Steve, and they'll help with the payroll. So we help with the employee manual and the policies and procedures and the other things you need. You know, you need an LLC and a contract, and your trademark needs to be searched before you start using it. You know, the name of your company, your logo, so you don't get a cease and desist letter. Like all those things we do. And then you work with Steve, and Steve will, you know, just handle it for you. So that way you know it's done right. Because what I do see is I also see employers getting sued because they didn't have the company name on the wage statement, or they didn't have, like, ridiculous stuff that they're getting dinged for. And the biggest thing employers are getting dinged for are also failure to give employees meal and rest breaks in accordance with the time schedules. So that's another thing. It's a hot topic for litigation.
That's something that I've always thought, you know, when I'm working as a host for the South Bay show, and Mark just does not give me enough breaks. I'm thinking, you know, he's breaking the law.
Plenty of time to take a break when you're dead, Joe.
Yeah, there you go. You got plenty of time to rest when you're dead.
I come from that 70s management style.
Well, you know, I just wanted to mention that years ago, I was the treasurer. I was on the board of a nonprofit, and it was an interesting setup because it was a facility, and there were instructors, and the instructors were all independent contractors. Which now, what you're saying, Deanne, technically they wouldn't be, but one of them was actually from another country and was here on some sort of a visa, green card, whatever. I'm not sure, but he had to be an employee to keep his visa or whatever.
Yes.
So, as a treasurer, I was doing all the accounting and everything, and I actually, it was the first and only time I did payroll, and I did it through QuickBooks. And, and you know, you do it once, you just figure it out, and then boom, and it kept track of everything. So some of those services out there, you know, really, really do work. You know, as I said, it was a nonprofit, and we had all these other interesting things, but they do work. But there is nothing like being able to hand over that to a professional, you know, like Steve, you know, a company just here, deal with this for me. I can't deal with payroll with all the taxes and, you know, all that other stuff. So,
well, for us, I mean, I'd say virtually 100% of the time now, when we talk to new clients in a consultation or, you know, or what have you, all of our clients say, I just want to make sure it's done right. And then I say, you know, the bells and whistles go off and the confetti falls. I'm like, yes, you are my client. Because my clients want to make sure it's done right. And the thing is if you're using an online service and you're virtually, you know, doing it yourself with the assistance of an online service, then there's always in the back of your mind, like, what am I missing? You know, I know I don't know everything for this. I'm just trying to kind of make do. you know, what am I missing? And so that's, you know, some people will, at least when they're starting out their business, a lot of people will do that. But yeah, I mean, use an online, if there is a good online payroll system out there, you know, definitely. I always recommend joining the Cal Chamber and working with your Manhattan Beach Chamber, you know, your local chambers of commerce, because you there's a lot of great workshops. Speaking of which, Mark, I'll be speaking on June 1st, 2018, from 12 to 1:30, sponsored by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce and the Business Connection Lunch and Learn. I'll be speaking there. So, you know, the Chamber hosts a lot of really great workshops and seminars to learn more about these things for your business.
I forgot about that. Lunch and Learn,
yeah,
June 1. We always have a guest speaker, and Deanne is our guest speaker for our Lunch and Learn on June 1st, which is always the first Friday of the month and at the Bellamar Hotel.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I'll be speaking
12 noon.
And there you go. That's
her job.
That's the perfect.
The problem when you have lawyers speaking at your lunches is everybody leaves scared.
Yeah.
No. Everybody leaves with good information and good tips to take back to their businesses. They will gather value for sure.
Like,
no,
I'm telling you, I thought it was an innocent question I asked of a lawyer about getting interns.
Uh-oh.
And oh my gosh. After that I said, sorry, we can't get interns.
That's another area. Interns,
nope.
Yes, that's another hot topic.
But this show is a little example of the stuff you're going to learn. You're going to become aware of at a Lunch and Learn, at the Chamber's Lunch and Learn.
Right.
You want to go in with your eyes open. If you're opening a business, you have a great idea or a great product or something, and you want to get it out there and sell it to the world, be smart about it. Go and talk to Deanne. Go say, I want to start a business, and I'm sure she has a handy checklist. She'll ask you what kind of business, how many employees, and she'll go through the checklist, and you'll be aware. There's no reason to be frightened. This knowing knowledge is power, so you know
it's
what you're getting
your
into. It's doing your homework, doing research, doing it right, and so that's, you know, if you're thinking about doing that, do this. Protect yourself, but in the event that you already have a business and you're going along la-di-da-di-da, you should still sit down with Deanne and her team and find the missing pieces. You know, you probably have a lot of pieces in place, but I'm sure there are some missing pieces, and it's all to protect yourself and your business. It's a smart thing to do.
Yeah,
you know,
my clients are usually people who've been in business on the short end, 2 to 3 years, and upwards of 40. But a lot of times people start knowing that they're not doing everything the way that they would otherwise do it, and then they come to me when they're ready to clean it up. And just before I forget, I'll just let everyone know that if they mention your show and call our office, then for a consultation, we'll offer them a complimentary 30-minute consultation to come in and speak with me or one of our attorneys. So
mention the South Bay Show, right? Right, Deanne?
Oh, yeah.
They mention the South Bay Show that they heard about.
Or South Bay
they
by
heard
Jackie.
Or South Bay by Jackie. Absolutely. Yeah. No, South Bay by Jackie would be great.
Just mention Jackie. Just say, hey, I'm a friend of Jackie's. I'm a friend of Joe's. I'm a friend of Mark's.
Yeah.
Any one of those, they referred. If somebody is referred into our law firm from anyone in the community, we will offer them a complimentary 30-minute consultation.
I love that.
Yeah. So that's a courtesy to, you know, to our fellow chamber members and to our community at large. Yeah. If you have someone who starting a business, growing a business that needs to talk to a lawyer, then it's a complimentary 30-minute consultation. You just need to mention it when you call in.
Deanne, Laura or somebody at the firm should, or I'm trying to get rid of the word should, might consider putting together something that we can send out to all of our chamber members. We can blast out saying that if you're a chamber member, Deanne Chase's law group will offer a 30-minute consultation for your business.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
You can put that in your chamber newsletter, Mark, that comes out.
Well, I know. We can put it in chamber newsletter. We can send out an e-blast. We can do whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that would be something be fun to offer our chamber members, because that's a real value. You know,
that's a real value. Yeah, you're getting
you
good
know,
advice.
To get a 30-minute, that's insurance. And
yeah.
What
do we always say, Joe? Your team, Joe? What do we always say about who you should have on your team? A good attorney,
an insurance agent, and an accountant.
Yes.
Yes.
I absolutely fully agree with all of that. Yes, insurance and a good accountant is really important.
So here's something. Right.
With the lawyer, of course.
By the way, Deanne,
of course.
As a sidebar, you might want to bring up, since we're going into summer, the issue of interns at the lunch. Because
sure.
Also I was said, don't call them interns. If you can't afford to pay them, call them volunteers. You know,
yeah. Business doesn't. Oh, don't get me started on that.
Well,
a for-profit business does not have a volunteer.
What do you mean? Nonprofits use volunteers all the time.
Oh, nonprofits. I said a for-profit.
Oh, for-profit. Yeah.
Yes.
No, because
we
want to get interns here, but we can't afford to pay interns. So unless you can get the school to say them working there is more valuable than being paid. Then the school will sign off on it. Otherwise, you're really at risk.
Those interns are really employees. Interns are employees. There have been huge lawsuits for for interns. So, I would say you don't hire an intern unless they're affiliated with the school program.
Right.
And essentially, an intern cannot be providing a service that is in place of a usual employee. Essentially, an intern is there for their own educational experience and not to further your business. So if you're going to hire an intern to avoid paying an employee, it's not going to work. But if you try to do that, at least you need to be working through a school program.
Well, it also
to mention at this time is that I was with the Workforce Investment Board, the South Bay WID, for
years, those guys.
And they do provide a number of services, but one of the things that they provide is interns, and they will provide a nearly ply of labor in various categories for free. And they actually have a mandate, and they have money to pay these people to work in your business and to learn how your business runs and how various small businesses operate. And you do not have to pay them. They get paid by the South Bay WIB through various programs that they are administering for the county and for the state. And ultimately, they get monies from Congress. So if you are a small business and you have a significant need for labor, you should always, always, always talk to the South Bay Workforce Investment Board.
Yeah,
I agree. Yes, definitely. Because they are hired by the workforce board and not necessarily by the employer, by the business.
I mean, they're
so
still paid.
That's a win-win. That's a win for
the
worker, and that's a win for the business. Win-win-win.
Yes.
But
yes.
I would like to suggest that those businesses that want to do that have a real reason for doing it. I mean, obviously you do, but because those people at South Bay Workforce, and we've hired them. I've got a lady now who is awesome, that and they're paying for 400 hours, and you know, we're going to seriously look at this. But the whole intent is you get to, if this is a real need for your company, then interview those people through the South Bay Workforce, get them in there, but you've got a chance to really test them out, test their temperament, test their work, their work ethics, all of that stuff. But you should go into it with the idea that we need to hire a person in this area. I mean, just so that, I don't know, that you're just not taking advantage of free, I don't know, I guess that part of it feels like you might be taking advantage of free labor or something like that, because they're paying it. But if there is light at the end of the tunnel, if there's a carrot that can be dangled, you might end up finding someone that, afterwards you're going to want to hire because they do a great job.
Right.
Yeah. Well, this has been, and this hour has flown once again because
fantastic.
We're learning so much stuff. It's amazing.
The other thing that Deanne, we didn't get into was, I got to tell you, Deanne helped Tammy out and is trying to help Tammy out in many other things too. I'd stay away from it. The is trademark. Was it trademark or copyright? Trademark?
It's trademarks, yeah, for your name or your logo for your business, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
I'm
mean,
happy
people
to talk
forget
about
that.
Well, a lot of people say, oh, the domain's available, so I'll go ahead and use the name. No,
right.
It doesn't work that way.
That
doesn't mean that someone isn't already using either the same name or something substantially similar in your same class of use, which would then that's we've had to tell people, give people bad news, say, hey, sorry, you've been in business 2 or 3 years and you've branded your lovely $20,000 website, but now you need to change the logo.
Well, a good example of that. Where Tammy's Catering Kitchen is, used to be El Porto. The guy who had a sandwich shop there originally, it was going to be called El Porto's. After he got the sign up, he had the logo, all of that stuff, found out that there is this classic, long-time, well-known Glendale bakery called El Porto's.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a problem.
I think it's Porto's or Porto's maybe. But anyway, same name, and they sent a cease and desist to him after he had already done all of that work.
Nice signage. All that nice signage.
Yep.
Oh, and business cards. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, we're searching a name right now for someone who's getting ready to put up a storefront with a sign, and I just said, let's at least do an initial search and analysis where we have special software that we use to search and provide you with an analysis of, I always say, either your likelihood of receiving a cease and desist letter or your likelihood of then, you know, prosecuting your trademark with the trademark office, which means submitting your application, filing it, and owning it for yourself. But, I also tell people, if you're using a name now, regardless of whether you searched it, put a little TM next to your name or logo. You can do that now. And you don't put the R on there until it's registered. But at least that shows that you intend to exercise an intellectual property right to your name.
Conversely,
excellent.
Tammy got sent a cease and desist on some language she was using in marketing, and the guy was trying to take ownership of this language, and we sent it to Deanne's people, and they said, you can't own that. You know, that's like saying own, you know, oh, it's Blue Sky. Oh, I own Blue Sky. You know,
yeah.
And so we responded back in kind, saying, sorry, we don't agree, and we never heard from him again. But, you know,
and that happens a lot. Yeah, that's true. They try and bully you.
Right.
And you just say, no, sorry, and, you know, go pound sand, and they do. A lot of them do go away.
But you need
it
a lawyer
depends.
To tell you that, to make you feel comfortable about responding back to something like that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've been on both sides of it. I've had to tell someone, I'm sorry, they have their, you know, you didn't check the mark before you started using it. They've registered it, and you need to stop. I've also been on the other side where I had a very large company coming after my client, and I'm like, sorry, she registered first. She's in the right class. And you go pound sand, and ultimately that big old company couldn't do anything. They couldn't threaten to sue her because she was in the right. Yeah, it was good. And they ended up just backing off because she had taken the steps. She'd registered her mark. It was registered with the USPTO, and she used it first. And it's whoever uses it in commerce first wins.
Well, they're going to cut us off, Joe.
Yeah, I was going to say, are we doing a two-hour show today?
I was wondering about that. I didn't want to. I'm happy. I could talk all day about this stuff, but
it's my fault.
9 o'clock.
It's a great show when we can't really end the show because we have so much to talk about, but we do have to end it, and it's been fantastic as always. Deanne Flores, Chase Law Group, ChaseLawMB.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. It was fun.
See you, Dan. See you, everyone.
We're going to be back soon. We're going to be back next week. Have a fantastic weekend. Mark, Jackie, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure, Joe. Bye.
It's a fantastic thing that we're doing. We hope that more small businesses will get themselves protected. A lawyer, a good accountant, and some great insurance. That's what we're here to promote, and we'll see you all soon. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye now.